Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you're gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the Lord.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty
and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for sending us together in unity again around this spectrum, God. For we know that this earthly planet is not our eternal home, God. We know that you have lying in reserve, and you have lying in wait, God. A building that's not built by the hand of man, God. You are its creator, you are its architect, God. And until you crack those clouds, one of these historical days, God, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this very land, Father God. And I'm asking you on tonight to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity, God. I'm asking your gracious Heavenly Father to grace me, hallelujah, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom, God, to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name the glory and the praise. These are the blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, matchless name. And we'll let the church say amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, I will be with you 45 minutes on the clock, and we know that the clock is ticking right along. And I want to shout out these numbers across the bulletin that you can call in if you desire prayer. You would like the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer for you or with you. You're encouraged to call those numbers on your monitor, and the first set of numbers is 646-230-74. The second set of numbers is 877-598-8654. All right, I will repeat those numbers. The first number is 646-230-74. The second set of numbers are 877-598-8654. And so you are welcome to call in with your prayer petition at the conclusion of our program. If you have a burning testimony of something good that you want to share with us that God has did in your life, we're eager to hear from you. And that means that if God has blessed you, you've been wanting to conceive and you haven't been able to conceive, but you prayed about it and you've asked God to just touch your wombs, and so now you have had a sonogram done, and you have a doctor report that says that you are now pregnant. So if you want to share that testimony, we will be glad to hear from you. If you've been looking for a job, a particular job that you had in mind, you had your eyes on, maybe a top-notch position, maybe a position that has led you to, in salary-wise, to go up a notch, whatever it is that God has done in your life, you know, God wants us to share the goodness of Jesus. Everything that he does in our lives, he wants us to share it, and that would be an encouragement to someone else, you know, that might be looking as well and may not have the faith that you have. But, you know, if they can be encouraged by your testimony, then that will give them, you know, a leading edge on faith. Hallelujah. And so now we're going to go on into our scheduled program. And so we're going to go back with the conclusion of Top Dog. We've been talking about that for the last two programs, and so this is the final lap of this sermon on tonight, and we're talking about the top dog in position, in money wise, in merit wise, in wealth wise, is in prestigious acclaim and accolades and all of that that goes along with the top dog. We're going to outline just what Solomon tells us and what God's word tells us as well. And so I didn't put out a lot of wording because I just wanted you to kind of go back to the beginning of the sermon and then kind of, you know, catch up right there. And then, of course, on last night, we had another sermon on the top dog. But tonight is our conclusion of the top dog on tonight. This will be our final phase of the top dog. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we know that in society. We know that we have the dream of a great society. And it is that we work and we work and we work. Hallelujah. And not only do we work, but we fight and we fight and we fight. Then we earn. You know, just some people just don't know when they got it enough. You know, enough is enough, you know. So we sell and we sell and we sell. Then we labor some more and labor some more to get even more. We got to have more and more. So it is at the top. We know that it's crazy, but there are some things that we call egos, satisfying about being at the top. And we know that it offers those perks that we didn't have down below. So you didn't have that when you was a little peon, you know. But by climbing in the cage at the top, we think we'll then occupy our long-awaited dream. You would say, now I'm in. So you laid back, you're in laid-back city. You relax. Not only do you relax, but you rejoice in the good life. Then you say to yourself, I have finally arrived. Hallelujah. I hope that these sounds, surround sounds, is not too loud, because I don't want it to drown me out. I want you to hear less of them and more of me. And so I would excuse myself to turn down our volume, because I definitely want to get this last, this would be the last lapse of this sermon. All right, thank you so kindly, because I, like I said, I want you to hear me. I want to be able to come in as clear as possible, and then for you to be able to hear and understand what I am trying to convey. Hallelujah. So, like I said, and so, like I said, you know, you felt like that you finally arrived. But, you know, we can just kind of stop and ponder our minds and think about some of those super-duper perks. You know, something like having your own parking spot. Then there's other perks like having your own bathroom attached to your office. Maybe you would have maybe a thicker pad underneath the carpet that's in your office, okay? Because, see, you top dog, you top notch, so, you know, you get nothing but the best and the finest. So there's a chair that you can lean way back in. And they might even throw in you a sofa. Just think of a sofa in light of eternity. You got drapes, you got the big window. Then they give you a company's car. And then you can also have a great big tax write-off. They will supply you with a boat that you can get in. Then you can pilot, or have a pilot to just drive you around the harbor maybe a couple of times a year. And you'll have people just, you know, at your every whim calling you, you know, the president, or even maybe the doctor, you know, because you're at a prestige level now. And so we're going to go right on back and see what King Solomon, this was a rich man, so we're going to go back and see what he has to say about all of you big dogs that don't think you need God at the top of your list. So we're going to let King Solomon tell us a thing or two. And we find out that Solomon says, it won't satisfy. Will you hear him? So I would ask you, would you be honest enough to just pause in the middle of the lot and think about stuff other than what you would normally be thinking about. And just let that ponder your mind. What is it that I might gain by fighting to the next one? So that means that you're fighting to get to the next level. Huh? And don't you want to climb until you can answer that? You are not satisfied. So you would say that I'm not satisfied here. So would I be satisfied at the final step, at that final position? So let's think about one of the stories that Jesus talked about. And you know, Jesus had a way of telling them like no one else could. And he just had a way of conveying the story like no one had ever lived. And this one is found in the 12th chapter of Luke. And it revolves around a sharp, very capable entomologist. And so, and it was some people that was in the crowd, and they said to him, said, "Teacher," said, "tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to them, he said, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed." Talking about the top dog tonight. He said, "For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told him, he told them a parable. He said, "The land of a certain man, it was very productive." And he began reasoning to himself. And he said, "What shall I do? Since I have no place to store my crops." And he said, "I know what I will do." He said, "I will tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all of my grain, all of my goods. And I will say to my soul," but he said that "I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and honey, be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared?" So I would say, so is a man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Hallelujah. And then there's another story that unfolds pretty much as a dialogue. And it's between Jesus and a guy who feels like he's been getting ripped off. So we'll look again at verse 13. So someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Now, how about for a rather practical place to begin would be the folks that have died, and then my brother's is executor of the estate, and he's taking it all, or at least most of it. "But teacher, we want you to tell him to divide it with me." And Jesus responds not to the actual statement, but to the motive behind it. "Man who has appointed me a judge or an arbiter over you." And he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed." That would be verse 14 through 15. And we know that that's not a bad warning to appear on the bottom of a dilemma. Not a bad piece. Hallelujah. And we would need to keep that as a souvenir. And then we could maybe, place that in plain view for some of the successful driven people to vision. So God tell us to be aware and be on your guards against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Then he went on and told the story of a parable that began in the land of a certain rich man. He was very productive. Hallelujah. And then chances are, hallelujah, that we know out there in our world today that may be some farmers, you know, that might be listening tonight. And then you will understand just what I'm talking about when I finish. Okay. Now, you might can identify with this story if you are a farmer. Now, he said, but you must be assertive and just get close to your radio dial, because I'm intending to break it on down tonight. Now, you might even be a white-collar profession. So we can even paraphrase it this way. And then you might be like the practice of a certain physician, and then your company is increasing in wealth. And then you also could be the client of a certain attorney, and his clientele is growing in numbers. So we know that the quota of a certain salesman was higher than before. So we know that he is even getting in on the increase. Now, do that make sense? So now we go back to what Jesus is talking about in his story. Now, we know that the man in Jesus' story talks to himself. Nobody else is around, and he's alone at the top. So the only guy to talk to himself. So the problem is he doesn't give himself the right answer. He says, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Now, you know, we could add this, that the government is going to eat my lunch to complete the idea. But he needs to do something with his profit. So what I'm going to do about this, what I'm going to do is I am going to just enlarge my territory, because I don't have enough room. So I enlarge my territory. I've earned a bond this year, and if I get more, I'll move on into another percentage bracket. If I get less, such and such is going to happen. What am I going to do? So this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and my goods. That's in verse 18. I'll just ply it back into the company. Do that sound familiar to you? Just have another office down in New Jersey. We'll just go public. We'll make this thing one of the largest going. The implication is clear, because that's going to bring satisfaction. But we know that it doesn't. It doesn't. You understanding that? But he keeps on hoping. He keeps on enlarging. He keeps feeding the ego. Why? I got a winner here, he may say. There is a market for it. Or the coming rationalization, you might think. This owl will meet the needs of my family, and my family will be happy because they'll have more things to enjoy. So naturally, I'll tear down all of those things and build more and more. I'll sow more and more so I can enjoy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But then he goes on a step further. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, drink, eat, drink, and be merry. That's in verse 19. All of these physical things are going to satisfy my deep soul level needs, right? No, it will not. That, my friend, is wrong. That's the wrong answer. It will not. Nothing physical touches the soul. Nothing eternal satisfies deep need within. Remember that the soul belongs to God. He alone can satisfy us in that realm. We know that the soul possesses this God-shaped vacuum. And not until he invades and fills it with himself that we can have peace within. Which is another way of saying if God isn't in first place in our lives, then we cannot have success. We know that God can fill your soul and my soul. God can fill your mind and my mind. God can satisfy your spirit and my spirit. There is no problem whatsoever with prosperity, but you got to have it all put together. Your priorities must be right, and you will know how to handle your life so you can impact the maximum numbers of people. If he prosper you, if he entrusts you with material success and you continue walking with him, God can use you mightily in his plan. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not attacking prosperity. I'm not saying everyone to take a vow of poverty. Hallelujah. You can stand, hallelujah, with your hands raised and repeat after me. I promise to get out of business. I promise never to make a profit. I am rather pleading and warning you against the grip on right priorities. Many of those of you who become successful and you become wealthy and you become famous have a great struggle handling all of that. Some are able to keep a clear perspective, but it's tough. It's like putting a camel through the eye of a needle. Remember Jesus' words, how seldom do we find the successful or a genuine humble. We find out that the man in this story told himself to eat, drink, and be merry. He could eat and he could drink, but he couldn't be merry because being truly happy is a gift from God. And all of a sudden, an angel stepped into this man's scene, right into his office where he's talking to himself. Leaning back in his soft chair, the deaf angel appeared with his lips pursed, saying, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have for bad?" That's in verse 20. Great question. Hallelujah. We know every successful person owes it to him or herself to ask that question. So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God Jesus. Hallelujah. What it all boils down to is the bare essence question emerges. First, are you telling yourself the truth about possessions? Do you know what the truth will do? It will make you free. You can count on the truth to do that, my friend. So are you telling yourself the truth about possessions? Secondly, are you hearing God's warning about priority? Just where is God in your business or your profession? Are you climbing that ladder at which, hallelujah, you do not plan to include God? You do not you're not interested in including him. And have you come to terms with things? Can you hear God talking to you? God's warning you about priorities? It will help you to know if you never forget God, God will never forget you. Hallelujah. God will never forget you, and God will bless you. We know that God loves for us to be successful, but we shouldn't take it to the extent that it leaves God out. Hallelujah. And we know that successful people don't wear gold. But you know where they keep their gold? They got it stashed away. Right? They got it stashed away. But the bottom line is that gold will not get you in the glory because it is not going to help you. You see, it's not really the possessions that you have but it's the possessions that you place value on when you exclude God. You just excluding him out of the equation. So if you are absolutely certain that heaven is your ultimate destination, it is very doubtful you'll be able to handle earth precious. Remember, some things ought to be, but they never will be. Possessions ought to satisfy, but they never will. Priorities ought to come automatically to smart people, but they never will. That's why we need God. We need God's word. No other book keeps bringing us back to the truth concerning possessions. No other book keeps bringing us back to the basic concerning priorities. And in closing, your problem is not your income, Solomon said. Words are addressed just as much to those who struggle to make ends meet as to those top dog who have got it made financially. As a matter of fact, there are just as many envious people fighting their way up as there are top dogs that's swimming in the penthouse of success. You can be just as greedy and lonely on your way up as those already at the top. So are you telling yourself the truth about possessions? Are you hearing God's warning about priorities? If you haven't been doing that, do it now. We know that Jesus is the authority of life and life after death. Once said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's found in the law of Matthew 6:33. They'll fall into right perspective if Christ is first. That's what we're talking about. You that are top dog. It's one thing to be a top dog, but it's another thing to be a top dog and excluded God out of the equation. Has there ever been a time in your life when you said, hallelujah, this to Jesus? Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the King. I want you to be first and foremost in my life. I want you to take charge. I want you to be the one who gives me counsel. I want you to be the one that I ask questions to. I know that you died for me. You have raised from the dead, and I lay my life at your feet. And you can just have me in all of this mess that I'm in. I present all of it to you. All the competitions and all the oppressions, all the illusionment of it. Take me, Lord. Save me. I come just as I am. I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I need your life. If not, if you've never prayed such a prayer, do so right now. Take the gift of eternal life, which he offers you. Turn to him in faith. Don't wait another minute, another moment, another second. This decision deserves top priority. Hallelujah. And our sermon on tonight, conclusion has been top dog. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to inject your spirit and to impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you'd want the old ship of Zion to go and pray on your behalf. You're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. To your correspondents, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. And we will just bring in a little music for your entertainment. And at the end of this selection, we will bring our program to its conclusion. Until we meet across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. The lines are now open if you have any prayer petitions that you would like the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf. You have exactly 9:44 remaining. But right at this moment, we will bring you a little inspiration and song. May God bless you and enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you.